MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting now with Noor Kapti. He is Denton Africa Chief Executive Officer and Chairperson South Africa. Noor, appreciate the early morning time. The African Growth and Opportunity Act, or GOA as we know it, expiring late next year. First question is, how's progress going in terms of negotiating a renewal around it?
Good morning, Simon, and thank you for having me on your show. So, yes, the Growth and Opportunity Act has been in focus recently. Negotiations continue, obviously. Now, what's important to understand about these negotiations is that this piece of legislation is really a reflection of economic policy informed by foreign policy in Africa, and economic policy, of course, of the U.S., we know that China has, in the last number of years, become the largest investor in Africa. This changing geopolitics, that isn't necessarily a good thing from a U.S. foreign policy point of view. And so my view is that you're going to see increasing pressure to ensure that we do conclude a GOA, as we refer to it, and that those negotiations really are going to progress rather well. A number of reasons for that. One is that, you wanted to say something.
I was going to say, and I think you were perhaps going there. I mean, it's important to us. Of course it is. But it's also important to the U.S. I mean, it's kind of the heart of their economic and investment policy into the continent. And often when I hear reports around it, it's almost made to be seen to be inconsequential to the U.S. But your point around China makes sense, and it is important to the Americans as well.
Oh, absolutely. And so South Africa still remains the kind of gateway to Africa. We have maintained superb relationships in Africa. And in fact, it is rather the African countries who have insisted that this talk of South Africa being removed as a participant in AGOA, as certain other countries have, is something that is not to be considered. So I think there's a fair amount of leverage, that political leverage that we enjoy, that allows us to benefit from this. 2025, I suspect that very strongly this is going to be renewed. There is nothing else, Simon, to replace it. And so with Africa growing in the way that it is anticipated to grow, with a young and growing population, yes, it represents a fair number of challenges, but it certainly does represent a great opportunity, huge human potential, capital potential, and of course a number of other things happening on the continent at the same time.
And there's also been lots of talk over the years around, you know, does South Africa stay in? Do we get diluted? But we are an important part, you know, not to overstate our influence, but we're an important part of AGOA in that, you know, we're the biggest manufacturing in the continent. We're the biggest economy. We've got a really good regulatory framework. AGOA is important, as are we.
Oh, absolutely. So, look, we have an outstanding economy in an African context. It's all relative, right? But we are extremely diverse as an economy, and there are a number of good reasons for that. Some are bad reasons, some of the old sanctions years. What that has caused us to do is to diversify the economy. And one would argue, not argue, it's clear that we're the only fully diversified economy in Africa. The only economy that comes closest is Egypt, and that's certainly not an entry point into Africa, largely because it is still considered to be part of the Arab League and the Arab countries. So sub-Saharan Africa really is by and large the opportunity for South Africa, which is something I think we've missed completely.
And what about the African Continental Free Trade Agreement? I mean, that kicked off with the first bit of trade moving through earlier this year, back at the end of January. That should, I imagine, sort of tie in to a degree with AGOA, or do they stand completely separate?
They don't stand separate, and you're absolutely right about that, Simon. So the African Continental Free Trade Agreement is now beginning to get a bit of kind of wind in its sails. Very important in terms of its growth opportunity. The greatest beneficiaries, of course, being women and the kind of jobs that's going to be created. It's estimated by the World Bank that 2035 we'll have job increases of 35%.
Wow.
And that's significant in the context of Africa. That, of course, also catalyzed foreign direct investment,
yep.
Right? And the estimates there are even more stupendous, between 111 and 159%. And this is from the World Bank website, that you get this kind of foreign direct investment estimates.
Yep.
We know that they have finalized the settlement system that Afrexim Bank is funding and sponsoring, mm-hmm. through FEDA, the Fund for Export Development. And this is the first for Africa, instant payment settlement, where you can settle in local currencies rather than have to go into the international markets for hard currencies and then, of course, lose a fair amount of value through that process and time. So here's the challenge, though. It's the largest common market that we anticipate will develop 1.4 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is that you can't move goods if you don't have goods to move.
Yeah.
And even if you did have goods to move, if you don't have the transport logistics systems to be able to support that, which we don't because of the way we had been colonized, you have different rail systems. There's no real intermodal transport connectivity at this point. And of course, to have manufacturing capability that allows you to move goods in a common market or free trade market, you're going to need a fair amount of energy. Now, the excitement about this is the kind of investment that this demands. The opportunity is indisputable. The opportunity to invest is really something that we in South Africa, given the level of sophistication, and you've mentioned some of those elements, level of sophistication of our economy and the fact that we have had for a long time, possibly for good reason, a domestic capital freeze, we do have the capital to be able to take this opportunity in Africa. Energy investment, we're already beginning to see that coming out of Turkey, out of India, out of China. You will know that I manage 23 offices in Africa. And so we have a very good sense of what's getting onto our desks. We're beginning to see infrastructure, but transport logistics infrastructure, by and large. And that's quite important to understand. And then, of course, increasingly interest from manufacturing companies. The Turkish have been very aggressive. They have a very strong manufacturing base, European Union
yeah.
standard. And then, of course, there's the Indian manufacturing base that's also really, really keen. These industries are being government-funded, government-supported, to look at Africa to relocate their manufacturing capability. So I think the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement is a really exciting story. I think it's something that we should embrace as South African business. We are the key to Africa. We pretty much continue to remain the access point for Africa for most investors, largely because of the outstanding judicial system. The system works. Great banking system, excellent regulatory framework. Look, I'm not suggesting that there are no problems in Africa. I think we all know the complexities of Africa. But the truth is that one in every four people on this planet by 2050 is going to be African.
Yeah.
And that's an immense opportunity.
I take your point. And that free trade agreement, challenges, but massive opportunities. We'll leave it there. It's Neo Kapti. He's Denton Africa, Chief Executive Officer and Chairperson, South Africa. Appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.